Tonight we'd like to look some at conference reflections, taking a look back over the time, the 8 weeks that we spent here thinking through the things of God's Word. And as introduction, could we read in Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33, and then on through chapter 12, verse 2. This passage was used by one of our conference speakers and sets up an important point involved concerning all of our conference listening. They do the speaking, but our job is to listen. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's particularly that last verse which is pertinent to our listening as far as the conference is concerned. There's a danger of being conformed to this world, but the Christian is to be continually transformed, and that transformation is to take part by the renewing of the mind, continually renewing the mind in relationship to the things of God. And we remember that involves the Word, that involves the Spirit. And that is one reason why we have our 8-week Bible conference. Now, for a lot of the guests, they don't have the full 8 weeks. But we have the opportunity of coming for 8 weeks. I don't think there's anybody who's been here, was able to be here for every one of those sessions. But for each one where we could be here and listen, we have this responsibility of letting it take part in the transformation of our mind, the renewing of our minds, that we might be transformed in our thinking and in our actions in relationship to things of the Lord. We've had 8 weeks of unusual Bible study. One of the unusual points this year was the fact we had 10 speakers instead of 8. It seemed like we went from one crisis to another. But the Lord always supplied, and what He supplied was of interest and importance to us also. So that was an unusual part of this particular conference season. We had expositions of the Word, we had devotional studies, devotional theological studies, and challenges for standing strong in doctrine and holy living. It was an intensive time. And we were hard put to see just how we were going to put all of this to practice and use it in our lives. But as we get an overall picture of what was presented, perhaps that will be of help. And really the question we're asking tonight is, what is God trying to say to us in the overall picture of our conference season? I have a number of four things particularly here. That's not exhaustive, of course, but I think everyone would realize, would mention, and others have mentioned the fact that Christ was certainly preeminent in this entire season. For example, in the beginning, Bernard Osborne presented his series of Christophanies in the Old Testament. And that brings us right back to a picture of Christ we don't often have. But what he started with, a Christophany in the New Testament, and Christ's appearance on the Damascus Road to Paul. And of course, that brought down to a very important question. As Bernard summed it up after he'd finished the whole presentation of Christ speaking to Paul and Paul's answering to the Lord. And this is the way he put it. Jesus was saying, "All this I did for thee. What hast thou done for me?" And Paul's answer, "For me to live is Christ." Now, what better beginning do we have to remind us of what our existence on this planet is all about? "For me to live is Christ." And of course, the Christophanies reminded us of the ministry of the second person of the Godhead. It didn't begin with the incarnation, it was before that. His ministry was eternal as well as his existence. Dr. Dan Smith devoted his entire morning series to the doctrinal study of the death of Christ. And he said, "This is not something we don't know about, but this is something we need to rethink and to restudy in order to keep it fresh in our minds." And he went through a marvelous doctrinal study. We didn't quite have the nerve to say, "Well, are you going to give us partial credit at Emmaus for a study course?" Of course, we didn't take any exams, so I guess that would rule that out. But you could just imagine him in his classes at Emmaus presenting that material in such a positive way, complete in digging it out of Scripture, living through the passages he was developing, and then just breathing into the life of his own person in connection with it. How wonderful it was to continue thinking of the preeminence of Christ in that particular study. And incidentally, Dr. Smith underlined the need for such doctrinal studies to give us a thorough grounding in the Word to keep us from slipping away into the errors that are around us all the time. And once again, the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up and our hearts prepared for praise and worship. Dr. Reynolds Showers, another unusual speaker, so apt, so careful in all of his study, as Dr. Gibson said, "He's a student." And he is. But he's also a speaker. And he was able to present to us this wonderful study on what the Bible has to say about angels. But did you notice the part he developed in concerning the relationship of Jesus Christ to the angels? We hear a lot in angelology, as they call it, of what the angels had to do for Christ. For example, at the time of his birth, they announced that his birth would be coming. But this other angle, the relationship of Jesus Christ to the angels, was a new facet we don't often hear. Christ existing before the angels. Of course he did. But we need to make that statement at the beginning, because you have all this ballyhoo about angels going around in the world, and you want to remember the importance of Jesus Christ before the angels. He existed before they did. He was the creator of the angels, sustainers of the angels, the object of the angels' worship. And then the amazing part, he was made a little lower than the angels in the incarnation. Lower than these creatures, glorious creatures, yes, but creatures that he had made. But that was only for a time. And then exalted above the angels in his resurrection and ascension. Another important point mentioned by Dr. Smith, but strongly emphasized by Dr. Showers, Jesus Christ by the cross has defeated evil angels and put them to open shame. Remember that Dr. Showers spent almost an entire hour developing that particular point and all that was involved in that defeat And that's an important aspect of the victory of Christ at the cross. Important for us to remember, the evil angels exist. They are strong. They have Satan behind him. But they are defeated. And as we cling to the Lord, as we obey His commands, as we let the Holy Spirit do His work, then we can gain victory over Him even in our living as well. Rex Trogdon certainly had the Lord Jesus Christ in his mind as he developed so aptly the portrait of Christ in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, 9 to 6, 1. I don't have the nerve to ask you, can you recite this passage by heart the way he was having us do at that time? I must confess, I didn't think of that until just now. I'm not ready to even try. But we recognize that his devotional study was so warm and so careful in honoring Christ and reminding us that that was our job to do. And of course, several people have mentioned that when Phil Geichma presented his portraits of Christ in Hebrews, he was really bringing the whole conference to a very fitting conclusion. He did the job carefully in Hebrews, but the thing that we all remember and was outstanding was his initial question, "Are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ?" A question that he'd asked before when he was here, but a question that's always fresh. And that's a question that we should ask ourselves tonight. Are you in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? He was. He saw love for God as the most important thing, the most important activity, if you will, a relationship of the Christian. And then related to that, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly as he presented the Lord Jesus as superior in all of those aspects in Hebrews, he was helping us to learn to love Christ more. So I would suggest that the first overall theme that stood out was the fact of Christ is preeminent. He was important in all. And there are other references to Christ too. I haven't tried to get them all in here. Another aspect was remember the ministry of angels. Now, Dr. Reynolds Showers presented a job there that you've scarcely heard before of the likes. Certainly, Dr. Smith would have applauded it because he said we should do doctrinal studies, and that's what it was. But he presented it in such a way it was like a story developing before us. And we were able to see what was said in Scripture and how the angels operated, giving us a picture we never had before of angel ministry. But also he developed their nature, their organization, their relationships, as well as their activities. And the reminder of the existence of evil angels was important, as well as the existence of the holy angels that are confirmed in their holiness. Wasn't that a good word for us? As he pointed out the fact that since the holy angels did not go along with Satan when the evil angels fell, they are confirmed in their holiness. They're going to do the Lord's bidding from here now until eternity. One of the aspects of his work, of course, was that mysterious to us, participation of the angels in the events of history and the current events as well. As he talked about the various princes of the nations, for example, as Daniel talks about, the events in history and current events are much influenced by carried on in this spirit world. And incidentally, when you're in some country elsewhere in the world where Christianity hasn't had as much influence, you're quite impressed with the activity of the spirit world. As you first arrive there, you tend to say, no, that can't be. It must be a mistake, superstition. But as you stay on for a while, you realize, and you study the scriptures to see the power of Satan's evil angels, you realize it is true, because they are under the domination of that. One example is in Haiti. Now, I asked the men to pray for David, as he had the responsibility of the Easter message at a church out in the district. I just got an email yesterday giving the results of that particular time. But it wasn't just David going and speaking at the church, which happened to have the name of Gros Morne, but it was the... Remember that the Ginger is working with street children, the destitute, called the Lemuel Project, with a barefoot school and sports, and now they've added music. They have a musical group called Hosanna. And this weekend at Gros Morne was designed to be with Pastor Simon and help him with his presentations at that time. But it was also designed to take this group, Hosanna, out to Gros Morne, to use them not only in the service of worship and the Good Friday service of remembrance for the people of God, but to take them out in the streets for evangelism. Do you see the wisdom of that? Bring the children off the streets, bring them in, teach them, especially teach them the Word of God, help them to come to know Christ as Savior, and teach them what it means to minister in Christ's name, to present the gospel in some way to others. And they did that through music. And they went out to a little station, outstation from the Gros Morne Church, which is a well-established church. And there were 9 in that group out in this outstation that believed at that particular time because of the witness of the group that went, including these children, of the singing group Hosanna, as they presented God's word in song. But I wanted to mention the influence of the spirit world. Now, in this particular time in Haiti, as I'm able to gather from the correspondence they just sent, there are bands during the Easter season, Good Friday, the Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, because Monday is always included in a Catholic country. They're all included as vacation days, and there are bands that are out. Now, what's a band? Well, as far as I can figure out, it's a group of the Haitians that are seeking to worship a particular spirit, voodoo, or some of the other spirits that they're worshiping. And they gather together, they dress up and they dance, and they gather together and make all sorts of commotion. And the convoy that went from Port-au-Prince out to Gros Morne to take everybody out expected to leave early in order to avoid these bands that would be dancing out and across the road and would be causing trouble and blocking traffic. But the folk going had requested prayer, and God answered prayer. They did meet some bands on the way to Gros Morne, but they were very polite. They moved out of the way and let the 3 cars go by. They didn't try to block them. And when they got to Gros Morne, there wasn't one band in sight. There were some bands that were noticed, these people that are dancing and worshiping and so forth, these evil spirits. But they were in control. The Lord had victory in that. And we praise the Lord for it. So the Lord had victory in the lives of the children who went. They were able to see the Holy Spirit work and to see folk come to the Lord through partly their testimony and their singing. And they were able to see these bands out of the way, an unheard of thing in Haiti. But that was, again, evil spirits, but God in control. Now, that's kind of a side because nobody talked about the Haitian bands, but I did want to share that part with you. And thank you for those of you who are praying. And David said that his message seemed to be well received. And they were out in an unfinished building, just the walls, just dirt floor, no roof, out under the sun. And he said the speaker finished before the sun got too hot. Now, to bring us back to our reflections, it reminded me of this statement about the spirit influence on events of history. It reminded me of Jim Harvey's messages, because he was talking about the sovereignty of God and the fact that God was working in the lives of individuals and in current events and in international movements, if you will. He was working through all of these things to bring his people back into the land. Do you remember that particular part? Jim did a masterful job in portraying that for us. And that's the other aspect, you see. He didn't mention angels, but there were spirits involved in that, I'm sure, in the helping of the influencing of some of the minds of those people to get them in line to bring his people back into the land of Israel. Now, we're talking about angels. And Phil Geichma happened to mention angels in one of his illustrations, where he had an automobile accident that was a horrible thing. His car was totaled, but he was able to walk out and sit on the edge of the road after it. And his suggestion was that quite possibly there was an angel that was helping him at that time. And that's one thing Dr. Showers mentioned also in other connections, the protection of God's people through the ministry of angels. He mentioned one in Africa at the time of the Mau-Mau revolution or rebellion for one. And also speaking about angels, of course, when Bernard Osborne was talking about the angel of Jehovah, that's also classified as among the angels. But it's a category all by itself, because the angel of Jehovah or the angel of the Lord is no ordinary angel. It's really the pre-incarnate Son of God in human form who's come to accomplish a particular purpose for God. And we appreciate Bernard's presentation of the ministry in so many different ways, as he mentioned in the Old Testament. Another point that comes across as an overall emphasis is prayer is important. James Comte talked frankly and knowingly of things concerning prayer to emphasize that we need reality in our praying. He shared his own experiences and challenged us not to let our prayer time and daily devotion slip. He gave us some principles of prayer, pattern of prayer, perseverance in prayer, and talked about praying in the Spirit. And that will help us take a good look at our prayer life and see how we rate. The lesson of the closet. He repeated that phrase several times. The lesson of the closet. The importance of communion with God in the secret place. And that's important for us to reflect on also. Dan Smith reminded us that having the mind of Christ involves receiving wisdom from above in answer to our prayer. But that must be prayer in the understanding of the will of God and must be in faith without doubting. But the result is remarkable. God's wisdom for our lives and for our service. In times of stress and in ordinary times as well. Bernard Osborne reminded us from the experience of Abraham and Sarah that as we ask the Lord in prayer, nothing is too hard for him to accomplish. He also commented on Abraham's intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah and Jacob's wrestling with God, as Jacob needed to learn that he had to lose all confidence in his own resources in order to have God's help. Rex Trogdon told of the 7 individuals and groups that were found at Jesus' feet And he challenged us as parents and grandparents to spend time at the Lord's feet on behalf of their children and grandchildren. There's a fourth theme I've called Dangers We Must Avoid. Dr. Charles Wagner gave warning of dangers that we must deal with. There's a movement called postmodernism. How many people had heard of postmodernism before? Yeah, a few. You see, but it's not brought out that way on TV or in the morning newspaper. But it's a very important philosophical and religious movement. And the idea is simple. You've got your idea, you say that's truth, and it's truth for you. But don't you tell me it's true for me. What I believe is true for me, and that's good enough. And everybody's right, nobody's wrong, we'll all get to heaven, no matter how we go there. That's the idea. And I can see you shaking your heads right now and saying, that's not scriptural. Of course it's not. But what's scripture in the eyes of these postmodernists? It's a danger coming, and you'll find it approaching. As if you listen to your news carefully, you'll find it coming in. I noticed tonight they talked about a particular Florida lawmaker who had an opportunity to talk, if I understood the facts, for homosexual high school students. And he said to them, you are protected against discrimination under Florida law. But then he added a word of advice. And he said, but the way you're going is not the way you should go. Because the way you're going, you'll not get to heaven. And all sorts of people called on him to issue an apology because he was saying, in essence, there's only one way to God. Did you notice that? Only one way to God. All sorts of people were calling on him to make an apology to those four students. But he said, I won't apologize. I'm a Christian. And they've chosen the wrong way. Now, there's a confrontation there. He's going counter against the norms of his society. Because his society, the society in which we live, we all live, is nobody's wrong. And you can't say that he's wrong. You can't say that you're right above him. Otherwise, you're a bigot. And who wants bigots around? So that's an example of the sort of thing we have to look out for, postmodernism. And Dr. Charles Wagner pointed out that Jonah chapter 1 refutes this multi-religion approach. The mariners realized that they couldn't save themselves, be saved, until they had thrown Jonah overboard, until they listened to the God of Jonah. They beseeched the other gods, no results. They had to throw Jonah overboard. There's also what's called progressive dispensationalism, which is a conciliatory approach to try to bridge the gap with covenant theology. But there's a third warning that comes right down to us that Dr. Wagner gave, and that's this. Remember he set three chairs on the platform for three generations? And he said, fervent devotion in the first generation will come to apathy in the third generation, passing through the second generation where there's some sort of nominal acceptance of the things of the parent who was devoted to the Lord. Now that's a warning from history. If nature takes its course, it'll be devotion, nominalism, and then apathy. And so he was warning us. We must be active in our relationship with our children and our grandchildren. Active in prayer and in other opportunities we may have to influence them. Well, that's all I have time to present at this particular point. But it was an unusual conference. And there's a lot that we should think over. And one important point that I didn't mention that came from Dan Smith is the battle for Christianity in the Western world is not that against physical persecution like we have in Sudan, but a battle for the mind, the thought life. And that is shown to us in that illustration concerning one of the lawmakers here in Florida. And we must be continually before the Lord in a matter of prayer, but also continually before the Lord in a matter of study of His Word. And as we attend the conferences, as we listen to the preachers here on Sunday, we must let that help us develop a world view that's consistent with God's world view and that can stand against the world view of the world that's round about us. Father, we thank Thee for the time that we've had with Thy Word over these past weeks. We give Thee thanks for the careful presentation of Thy Word that was there. And we pray that Thou would undertake for us now as we would seek to obey Thee and to be occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and with renewing our mind through our occupation with the Word. Help us to be able to do this. Give us the way and means of putting aside that time each day to be faithful in the study of Thy Word. And we ask these things as we come in Jesus' name. Amen.